This is Jordan Secchia with breaking news. In a procedural move unusual to say the least at the UN, the United Nations chooses terrorism over Israel.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Hamas uses torture and arbitrary arrest to punish its political opponents. It has made Gaza a police state, all while Hamas spends its resources, including UN resources, on rockets and terror tunnels.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
There is nothing more anti-Semitic than saying terrorism is not terrorism when it's used against the Jewish people and the Jewish state. There is nothing more anti-Semitic than saying we cannot condemn terrorism against Israel, while we would not hesitate for 1 minute to condemn the same acts if they were taken against any other country.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. Well, in a shocking, I guess you can call it shocking at the United Nations, in a shocking move, minutes before the vote was to take place to condemn Hamas, it would have been a historic vote at the UN General Assembly put forward by the United States. It was brave for the United States to do so. There was a rule change on the General Assembly floor. Usually it's one country, one vote. That's how the General Assembly operates. But Kuwait, they really remember what we did for them, right, in Kuwait. And Bolivia put forward a resolution that said, well, on this vote, and this is the problem with some of these international institutions, they put forward a resolution saying, well, on this vote, we're going to require a two-thirds majority. So a normal majority, which is for all the resolutions condemning Israel, is all you need. But on this vote, you'll have to have a two-thirds majority. And that resolution passed by three votes, 75-72 with 26 abstentions. So what did that mean? Well, no longer did it mean that you would need 97 votes to get a majority if every country voted yes or no. Now you would need a supermajority. Well, that was never going to happen at the United Nations. Now, ultimately, how the vote broke down, the majority of countries in the United Nations did vote to condemn Hamas as a terror organization. Here's the breakdown. 87 countries voted to condemn Hamas. 57 countries voted against condemning Hamas, and 33 abstained. So when you have those abstentions, 87-57, that would have carried the day, Than, in a normal General Assembly vote, and we would have had that historic condemnation of Hamas. But surprise, surprise, stunts are pulled at the UN at the last moment to display their anti-Israel hatred.
Jordan, you said something on the broadcast yesterday along the lines of you just never know at the United Nations, and how true that was. I mean, I have literally never seen this happen, Jordan. Maybe there's some precedent that I'm not aware of, but I have never seen this happen. Essentially, what happened is they got down to the wire, about ready to take this vote from Ambassador Haley, condemning the violent actions of Hamas, and it became clear that the resolution had the votes to pass. So what did they do, Jordan? The Kuwaitis put forward a resolution that changed the rules of the game at the last minute. Literally 20 minutes before the vote was to take place, they put forward a resolution that would require this supermajority in order for the resolution to pass. So even though the resolution in the end got 30 more yeses than noes, it did not have that supermajority and technically did not pass. Jordan, we can name some of these countries in the end, but I want the United States to particularly focus on those countries who fell for this stunt. They tried to vote for the underlying resolution in the end, but they fell for this stunt that the Kuwaitis put forward. Countries like Australia, Norway, Switzerland, Brazil, Iceland, Jamaica, and Japan. Jordan, in the words of Ambassador Haley, I think the United States was going to be taking names during both of those votes yesterday.
Absolutely. I mean, those countries thought they could have it both ways. See, they know they could vote for a resolution which would make sure that there would be a two-thirds majority requirement so that if they did vote yes to condemn Hamas, it wouldn't actually pass, though it would get the majority of votes that would usually be necessary. We'll explain it all to you. Give us a call at 1-800-684-3110. The UN, Israel's ambassador to the UN, Danny Danone, will be joining us live in the next segment. If you've got questions and phone calls for him, he was there. 1-800-684-3110, Israel's ambassador to the UN, joining us live in the next segment. Anyone who calls today will get a signed copy of my dad's book, Jerusalem. So call now, 1-800-684-3110.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are honored to be joined by a very special guest, Israel's ambassador to the United Nations. Danny Danone is joining us now live after this historic vote yesterday at the UN. Unfortunately, because of hijinks in this very unusual move that Kuwait and Bolivia put forward to require two-thirds vote majority to pass a General Assembly resolution, which for all of us who work at the UN, and we do a lot of work, the ACLJ, our European Center for Law and Justice, is a recognized NGO there. And by the way, I'll let the ambassador know that we are preparing a legal letter to the UN right now on this issue about how this vote took place and this resolution took place to require a two-thirds majority. But let me go straight to Israel's ambassador to the UN, Ambassador Danone, because there is a silver lining here. You tweeted out that it is the first time ever the majority of countries at the UN did vote to condemn Hamas terror against Israel.
Thank you for having me, Jordan. Indeed, yesterday was a victory. We won a complete victory. But we were very happy with the result, getting 87 member states supporting a resolution condemning Hamas, 57 opposing it. It shows that the world is against Hamas, against terrorism. Unfortunately, in the UN, when it comes to Israel, there are separate rules and they have the hypocrisy there. But we showed yesterday that we do have the support, and we want to thank the U.S. for putting the resolution forward. We want to thank Ambassador Haley for fighting for this resolution. And we are very optimistic about the future, because if in the past we had to defend ourselves, now we are taking the offense and we are putting Hamas, we're putting Iran, we're putting the bad guys in the corner.
This resolution that was passed by, it was not passed, but it was voted for by a majority of UN member states. It would have passed in a normal setting, Ambassador Danone, and all those votes that they take against Israel, like last Friday, this resolution would have passed, right?
Indeed, they just passed six resolutions condemning Israel, and there was no requirement for a two-third majority. But it shows that they are panicking, that they are afraid. And you should have seen, Jordan, the walk of the Iranians coming to support Hamas, and also the Palestinians, instead of condemning Hamas, because they know that they are holding the Palestinians hostages, not only threatening Israel, they are also threatening Palestinians. But instead of that, you saw the Palestinians defending Hamas and making everything they could to block the resolution.
You know, I think that is very unique that you had these. I mean, can you explain, Ambassador Danone, the sense that the the Palestinian representatives who really come from the Palestinian Authority and Fatah, they were thrown off the rooftops of buildings back in 2007 when Hamas took control of the Gaza Strip. What on earth are they doing? And some of these other majority Muslim countries as well, in defending this movement that wants to topple their regimes as well, not just destroy Israel, but it wants to topple their regimes as well. They're no friend of a lot of Muslim, majority Muslim countries either.
You know, that's shocking. You know, the hate to Israel and to the Jewish people is stronger than anything else, unfortunately. Because as you mentioned, in 2005, the throw of the rooftops, the Palestinian politicians, and by the way, I was considering to put it in my Facebook and my Twitter, but I decided not to do it because those pictures are horrible pictures. Yep. But that's how they treated the PA officials. And now you see the PA representative supporting Hamas, defending Hamas, and we know that what they are doing to the people in Gaza today is horrible. So this resolution was not only supporting Israel and the U.S., it was for the Palestinian people. It is unfortunate to see the behavior of the Palestinian representative, and that is the main problem today. They do not have leaders who care about their people.
I want to have some comments have come in for you, Ambassador Danone. John on Facebook wrote, "Thank you, Ambassador Danone. Continue to keep Israel safe and secure at all cost." Let me ask you this, Ambassador. With this vote, when you look at the 87 countries who did vote in favor, and then you look at the 33 who abstained, who said, you know what, we're not going to get involved in this. And in a sense, those in a normal General Assembly vote, those 33 abstentions would really be like a vote for. But in this case, they became a vote against. Are there any votes that stood out to you in particular, any countries that stood out to you in particular about how this all started? I mean, for me, I would say with what Kuwait did and how the U.S. back during the Gulf War saved Kuwait from an invasion by Iraq and Saddam Hussein, and they turn around and pull this stunt with a U.S.-sponsored resolution is pretty upsetting as an American. But for an ambassador of Israel to the U.N., any countries that stood out to you that voted for or against this?
Well, first, let's be optimistic. So we want to thank those countries who stood with us. And we look at Latin America, for example, Jordan, countries like Brazil, Argentina, Mexico, even Chile supported the resolution. It was very impressive, especially, you know, the elected president of Brazil tweeted about that, and we're very grateful for that. And with the Arab countries, I am disappointed, because when I speak with the Arab ambassadors, they tell me exactly what they think about Hamas. They are aware of the threat of radical Islam. But unfortunately, they are not strong enough, they are not brave enough to stand up tall and to tell the people, yes, we condemn Hamas because they are radicals. And they are threatening not only Israel, they are threatening Saudi Arabia, they are threatening all the Gulf countries. So those radicals, they are not coming only against us. They eventually will attack also the moderate Arab countries.
I also see a lot of support in the Republic in the Korea. Also support in, again, you mentioned Latin America. Support also in places like, of course, in the European Union. Let's focus on that. Just having that European Union support, Ambassador Danone, to me sends a clear message, because there's been this kind of growing anti-Semitism, unfortunately, even in very westernized European Union countries. The fact that they voted together as a bloc, to me, against Hamas, is also very important for the state of Israel.
It is. It is very important. And to see the EU standing with the U.S. and Israel, it's not something we always see at the U.N. And today you have in the EU a strong group of member states who support Israel, and they're becoming more and more active, mainly Eastern European countries, but not only. And we thank them for standing, and we encourage them to continue to do that. They proved yesterday that they can actually influence the EU. And even in the past, we saw that the EU is hostile to Israel and there is no reason to engage with them. Yesterday, we proved yes, we can even change the EU, and we want to encourage those countries to continue and to be more involved.
You know, I think, again, we want to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let's take a phone call. Jerry is calling in from Rhode Island online, too. Jerry, welcome to JSecio Live. Remember, you're not just talking to me, Jerry, but the ambassador from Israel to the United Nations, Ambassador Danny Danone.
Greetings, Mr. Ambassador, and stand tall, hang tough. Jordan, do we fund any of the countries that voted against what the United States did? Like, are we funding people that did not vote against Hamas?
That policy has been changing, and I think Ambassador Danone can speak to that because he's worked closely with the outgoing U.S. Ambassador to the U.N., Nikki Haley. Ambassador Danone, you've seen the remarks from the United States as well, saying that we watch now how these countries are voting and that that will impact the U.S. funding, which is which goes out to these countries, kind of has gone out pretty much indiscriminately in the past, even when they voted against U.S. interests, that is coming to an end. And specifically, when it comes to the Palestinians, the U.S. has defunded UNRWA. It's withdrawn from the U.N. Human Rights Council. It's taken funds out of the U.N. Development Program. It's vetoed the U.N. resolution condemning Israel's treatment of Palestinians. It's also threatening to pull any kind of aid from countries that vote against the U.S. at the U.N. So the U.S. is standing strong, Ambassador Danone, under the Trump administration with Israel, that certainly at the U.N., which is a very tough place.
Indeed, and we are grateful for that. It is a U.S. decision who to fund and how to fund. But I think the U.S. is more respected today when they take a very clear position about supporting those who support the U.S. And empowering them. And I think that's why you see more and more countries aligning themselves with the moral values of the U.S. and Israel. I think that is the right thing to do. You know, when I saw the Palestinian representative, the way he spoke about the U.S., the way he addressed your excellent ambassador, Ambassador Haley, I asked myself, how dare he speak that way to a country that actually gives hundreds of millions of dollars every year? So I think the U.S. is doing the right thing by demanding respect from the country that they support.
Ambassador Danone, we appreciate you being with us. You are Israel's ambassador to the United Nations. Always great to have you. Thank you for joining us today on JSEC Live.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ambassador Danone. When we come back, we take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Remember, everyone who makes it on the air today, I'm sure Ambassador Danone will like this, we'll get a copy of my dad's latest book, Jerusalem, A Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital, which was recognized by the Trump administration for the first time, the United States recognizing it as the official capital of Israel. We have our matching challenge right now at aclj.org. Whatever you're able to donate is doubled. So a $20 donation, someone will match that. You'll only be charged $20, but someone will match that. We'll receive $40. It's how we do all this work. It's how we have all these contacts. We're able to bring this to you live. aclj.org. Donate now. We'll be right back.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, A Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, A Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We have just had joining us live the Israel's ambassador to the United Nations, Danny Danone, who put a positive spin on the vote yesterday. I think that that's important to note. Though the U.S. and we are very upset about this rule change on the vote that suddenly at the General Assembly, they, which is usually a one country, one vote, we can't actually remember. None of us can recall a time, and certainly they haven't used it this year, where any vote at the General Assembly is required a two-thirds majority for a resolution to pass. But Kuwait and Bolivia put that resolution forward. That resolution to require the two-thirds majority barely passed, 75-72, but it did. So what did that mean? Well, it was not. Then that meant that the resolution condemning Hamas was not certainly not going to meet that standard of a two-thirds majority. But here's what it did do. 87 countries voted to condemn Hamas. 57 countries voted against, 33 abstained. In a normal General Assembly setting, that would have been a victory. The resolution would have passed. That's why yesterday we were reporting this was on track to pass, because that's all the votes you needed. But as usual, the UN made sure to display some of the countries their absolute hatred for the state of Israel and the Jewish people. Let me play. This is Ambassador Nikki Haley. Very strong words. Bite 19.
I want to take a personal moment and ask my Arab brothers and sisters, is the hatred that strong? Is the hatred toward Israel so strong that you'll defend a terrorist organization? One that is directly causing harm to the Palestinian people? Isn't it time to let that go? For true peace and security in the entire region, isn't it time for both sides to let this go?
I mean, you would think that it is time, but the hatred is that strong, Harry. I mean, that we saw it with this move by Kuwait, which is upsetting as an American, as I said to Ambassador Danone from Israel, because of what America did for Kuwait. But yet they put this resolution forward, acting with Bolivia to require this two-thirds majority, which is just unheard of at the General Assembly.
You're absolutely correct. So the failure to pass this resolution represents the triumph of cowardice, hypocrisy, and falsehood. Largely because of the efforts by Kuwait and Bolivia, coupled with cowardice by many other nations who supported the move to change the voting rules, the U.S. resolution to condemn Hamas and its indiscriminate program of terror on civilians failed. This means that the UN voted to applaud terror rather than the rule of law, rather than fairness toward Israel. This vote represents the triumph of a long-term campaign of falsehoods led by the Palestinians who refuse to recognize the truth associated with the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. So there are a number of truths that the Palestinians refuse to admit. However, the United States has acted in recognition of three key truths, including the fact that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel, that very few of the Palestinians that UNRWA, the UN Relief and Works Agency, supports are actually refugees. And the other truth is that the UN is unacceptably and disproportionately biased against Israel. So the Palestinians, they deny the Israeli connection or the Jewish connection to Israel, and they claim a connection to a land that they never possessed. So that's a huge problem, which was exposed by this vote.
Let's go right back to the phones. 1-800-684-3110. Keith in Virginia on line one. Keith, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
All right. Thank you.
Hi, Keith.
I just wanted to call and thank you and your dad for the work that you do at the ACLJ in bringing the truth and standing for what is right from a biblical perspective. And I just want to say thank you very much.
Hey, thank you, Keith. We appreciate it. We'll get that copy of the book, Jerusalem, to you. We appreciate all of our supporters, and that's what we try to do every day on this broadcast. Nikki Haley didn't just say this hatred of Israel, though. She took it a step further. She took it to the step of the Jewish people and anti-Semitism. These are very strong words from the United States ambassador to the UN. And we'll get to it later in the broadcast. She is outgoing. She'll be gone at the end of the year, and she'll be missed, but she'll be replaced. President Trump has announced that he will nominate Heather Nauert, who is the U.S. Department of State, currently department spokesperson, and is an acting undersecretary for public diplomacy and public affairs as the U.S. ambassador to the UN. President Trump has also announced that he will nominate Bill Barr, former U.S. Attorney General under President George H.W. Bush from 1991 to 93, as the next Attorney General of the United States. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the broadcast, but I wanted to play this from Nikki Haley as well, because I think it sets up, again, this message that we're bringing to the UN directly and calling out their votes for what it is, Byte 14.
There is nothing more anti-Semitic than saying terrorism is not terrorism when it's used against the Jewish people and the Jewish state. There is nothing more anti-Semitic than saying we cannot condemn terrorism against Israel, while we would not hesitate for 1 minute to condemn the same acts if they were taken against any other country.
I mean, I will go to Wes on this. Wes, as someone who served in our military, I think Nikki Haley's right on. I mean, if anybody else was attacked this way, any country was constantly under this terror attack, these terror tunnels, there'd be condemnation after condemnation at the UN, if not more.
Absolutely.
But because it's Israel, and Nikki Haley is tying it to both a hatred of Israel and anti-Semitism worldwide.
Yeah. Think about it, Jordan. It was exactly 1 year ago that in the United Nations, they voted 128-9 to declare that Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. This was right after President Trump announced he was going to move the capital to our embassy to Jerusalem. 128-9, they voted that idea of Jerusalem being the capital was null and void. 128-9. At that time, Ambassador Haley said, going forward, that the United States would look at our financial aid to countries, and the test would be whether or not they supported our moral values and our strategic interest in policies. And I think she really needs to do that now. I did some research this morning. Out of the 193 countries that make up the United Nations, 184 of them receive financial aid from the United States. And that's just shocking.
Say that number again.
Out of 193 nations, 184 receive some form, some more than others, but some form of financial aid from the United States. And as a retired Army officer, of course, I think what Kuwait did is an insult to the United States. That country would not even exist today were it not for the United States and us going in and liberating Kuwait from Saddam Hussein. And so it's just very, very telling, this is. And I think we need to do what Ambassador Haley suggested a year ago, and that is we need to look at our financial aid and how this diplomatic dance between that and diplomacy.
The second half hour, let's have that bite ready. Let's have that bite ready about what Nikki Haley said about how the U.S. is watching exactly how these countries are voting and how it can affect their aid. It's already affected the Palestinians greatly. We've gone through that. Got a second half hour coming up. Taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. We have a matching challenge right now. You know, we have an office in Jerusalem. You saw we were able to get Ambassador Danny Danone, Israel's ambassador to the UN, right on the broadcast today. We do it because of your support to the ACLJ. Be part of our matching challenge. Donate today, ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
There is nothing more anti-Semitic than saying terrorism is not terrorism when it's used against the Jewish people and the Jewish state. There is nothing more anti-Semitic than saying we cannot condemn terrorism against Israel while we would not hesitate for 1 minute to condemn the same acts if they were taken against any other country.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Folks, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Just to reset the stage, yesterday we told you that the UN, in an unprecedented move, the U.S. put forward a resolution. It would the resolution, just very quickly for you, was on condemning Hamas. It would, number one, condemn Hamas for repeatedly firing rockets into Israel and for inciting violence, thereby putting civilians at risk. Number two, demands that Hamas and other militant actors, including Palestinian Islamic Jihad, cease all provocative actions and violent activity, including by using airborne incendiary devices. And number three, further condemns the use of resources by Hamas in Gaza to construct military infrastructure, including tunnels to infiltrate Israel and equipment to launch rockets into civilian areas, when such resources could be used to address the critical needs of the civilian population in the Gaza Strip. The vote at the UN, a majority of countries voted to condemn Hamas. That is historic, and as Ambassador Danone from Israel said, a majority voted to condemn Hamas. First time ever. 87 countries in favor, 57 against, 33 abstained. Normally, that would have mean resolution passed. But guess what happened right before that vote? The standard changed. The standard changed to a two-thirds majority needed for a resolution to pass. That's unprecedented, unheard of. We cannot find a single case of it certainly happening this year at the General Assembly, any vote requiring two-thirds. All those condemnations of Israel, none of them required two-thirds. So who put that forward? Kuwait and Bolivia. And interestingly, it passed by three votes, 75 to 72, which means there was no way this resolution could actually meet that standard at the United Nations. No one would have thought that it could get two-thirds votes. It was a big victory if you could get a majority. It did do that. It would have passed under the normal rules. And what does it send? It does send a message to Hamas still that the majority of these countries will condemn your actions, that you cannot just get away with this. The resolutions are important. But what's most important, I think, here, Than, is getting countries on the record. And Hamas and the Palestinians and the Arab world can now look and see that the world is pretty sick and tired of their terrorism.
Yeah, I mean, I think you heard this from Ambassador Danone, Jordan. I mean, he said a couple of things. First of all, for the first time, telling the truth on the world stage resulted in an outcome where by far more countries agreed with that truth than disagreed with it. Again, 87 to 57 with the tally. I don't think there's any way to put that but as a positive thing. And the second thing, Jordan, maybe that the ambassador didn't allude to, but that I would, in future resolutions at the Security Council or elsewise, we can recall this vote as evidence that a majority of the United Nations, or at least a plurality of the United Nations, agrees that the actions of Hamas are dangerous. Jordan, but you know, we've continued to point out exactly how these votes have fallen. And the countries that tried to have this both ways, the countries that went to the floor and voted with the United States to condemn Hamas, but just 20 minutes prior had voted for this procedural stunt that essentially blocked it. Jordan, those are the countries I think the United States, maybe not Israel, but the United States needs to have a very firm conversation with. And I think the comments that you played from Ambassador Haley show you that they are planning on doing exactly that. Jordan, the United States wasn't fooled by this. They see exactly who enabled this outcome to happen.
Nor was Israel. Here's Ambassador Danone yesterday at the United Nations.
For those member states that rejected this resolution, you should be ashamed of yourselves. Wait when you will have to deal with terrorism in your own countries. Your silence in the face of evil reveals your true colors. It tells us what side you are really on.
Again, folks, that was Ambassador Danny Danone yesterday at the UN. He joined us live in the broadcast today, earlier in the broadcast. If you're just joining us, I encourage you, go back and listen to the show later today. It'll be on, it's on Facebook and it's Periscope and at ACLJ.org as well. So because he was live with us. And we're able to bring guests like that to you because your support for the work, because what we do at the UN and the resources we have available. We have a matching challenge right now, final month of the year. Whatever you're able to donate is doubled if you donate online at aclj.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. We're going to get right back into what happened at the United Nations yesterday with the resolution at the General Assembly condemning Hamas, which would have passed under normal standards, one country, one vote, but a resolution passed right before, one that has never been used this year, and none of us can remember being used in the past at the General Assembly, that required a two-thirds majority for a resolution to pass. So the resolution would have passed. It got 87 votes in favor, 57 against, 33 abstentions, but of course that wasn't two-thirds. So we talked to you and we'll continue to talk about this anti-Israel bias and even anti-Semitism. There are good signs in this vote. The entire EU voted to condemn Hamas, all 28 member states. Other countries from around the world, of course, 87. So the majority of countries voting, again, this would have passed to condemn Hamas for their attacks on Israel, and Israel was specifically named. So I think going forward, there needs to be ways. We're going to send a letter to the UN from our legal counsel to their counsel about this procedural move and how this occurred yesterday. Because these other resolutions don't require these kind of votes. And we want to make sure it's not just, it's kind of, you know, Israel always being treated differently. And really, the U.S. being treated differently as well. It was our resolution that was put forward. But we've got phone calls coming in about some new appointments that President Trump has announced today. We know that Nikki Haley is on her way out at the end of the year. It big shoes to fill. She's done an excellent job. Let's go to Benjamin calling from Texas about that online, too. Benjamin, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Jordan. Yeah, hi. I told your screener if you would comment a little bit about the fine job Nikki Haley did at as an ambassador to the UN, but you already, while I was on hold, you already played a couple of clips from her. In my view, Nikki Haley is a rock star.
Yeah.
And if for some reason Mike Pence decides that he doesn't want to seek a second term, I think Nikki Haley would make a fine running mate for Vice President of the United States.
Well, I think and what Nikki Haley's been clear, she's going to support President Trump and Vice President Pence and their reelection efforts. She is, again, I think probably going back into private life a bit after being governor, then right into ambassador because very busy. But she has done so much since being at the United Nations. Just give you an example of what the U.S. has accomplished at the U.N. when it comes to Israel, just to Israel. We've defunded the UN Relief and Works Agency, which aids these, quote, Palestinian refugees because the numbers aren't right. The U.S. has withdrawn from the UN Human Rights Council because of its anti-Israel bias. The U.S. diverted funds from the UN Development Program to USAID back to our own program to get Christians in Iraq the help they need because the UNDP wasn't doing it. We vetoed the UN resolution condemning Israel's treatment of Palestinians, so we actually prevented that from passing that resolution at the Security Council. And we've threatened to pull aid from countries that vote against the U.S. at the UN. We've already started doing that. In fact, let me play that soundbite from Nikki Haley where she says, we will be looking at how you vote.
The United States will remember this day in which it was singled out for attack in the General Assembly for the very act of exercising our right as a sovereign nation. We will remember it when we are called upon to once again make the world's largest contribution to the United Nations. And we will remember it when so many countries come calling on us, as they so often do, to pay even more and to use our influence for their benefit.
So, again, that will be the Trump policy moving forward. Now, who has President Trump chosen to replace Ambassador Nikki Haley? It may be a name you know well if you are a Fox News viewer and or someone who follows the State Department closely. Heather Nauert, who joined the State Department as spokesperson in April of 2017, has been announced as President Trump's pick to replace Nikki Haley as U.S. Ambassador to the U.N. She's had a career in broadcast journalism. She's also not just the State Department spokesperson, but is the acting undersecretary for public diplomacy and public affairs. I would also point out that she has been at the State Department in a particularly tumultuous time because she was there when Rex Tillerson was Secretary of State, and she remained when Secretary of State Pompeo was nominated and confirmed for the position, which I think means she really proved herself with inside the State Department about running the communications and the also working on the public diplomacy aspect of the State Department as an assistant secretary. And so usually, you know, when you have the transfer of a secretary, a new cabinet member, individuals like that will maybe be on the way out. But instead, I think she proved herself, and so she stayed on under Secretary Pompeo and did not leave like a lot of the Rex Tillerson staff did. She has now been appointed. She was on Fox News as an anchor and correspondent, so people may know her from there. She also worked for ABC News, went to the Columbia School of Journalism, and she will, again, face Senate confirmation. But again, the role of the UN ambassador, the U.S. ambassador to the UN, one of the main roles is communicating your message. It's public diplomacy. And that is what she has been working in her craft on doing as both in television and as the spokesperson for the U.S. State Department. Another important a nominee today, and then we're going to get right back to your calls on what happened with the resolution with Israel. So we're not moving to a different topic. But just so you know, that the president has also nominated a replacement for the former U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions. He has announced that he will nominate William Barr, really known as Bill Barr, who's right now in private practice, but he served as the 77th Attorney General of the United States. So he's already been the U.S. Attorney General from 1991 to 1993. I think so at a time when it's been pretty tumultuous at the Department of Justice, having someone who's already been a U.S. Attorney General come in to kind of right the ship is probably a very good move by President Trump. So he served President George H.W. Bush. He was, prior to that, the Deputy Attorney General and an Assistant Attorney General in charge of the Office of Legal Counsel, which is a very important office at the DOJ. At the Department of Justice, he established programs to combat violent crime, civil rights issues, oversaw the investigation of the Pan Am 103 bombing. I think that this is someone who's coming with a lot of experience in the Department of Justice at many aspects of it. He also worked on counterterrorism activities during the first Gulf War. So that is who is being nominated to replace Jeff Sessions, who's already resigned to be. They will also have to go through Bill Barr. We'll have to go through confirmation process. But again, he has served as U.S. Attorney General previously under President George H.W. Bush and in so many other capacities at the Department of Justice. Let's get right back to the topic at hand. I just didn't want to miss that because President Trump announced it today. Confirmed it today. Those two very important positions. And so I wanted to let you all know about that, get that news out to you. Let's go right to the phones, take a phone call, and we'll go by who's been holding on the longest. Mark in New York, on line 3. Mark, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
I have just a comment in regards to the elitist at the UN. Every time America has a situation where that they know they're going to fail in a vote, are they going to be changing it back to two-thirds vote constantly?
Well, we're actually going to be putting in a legal letter because, you know, we mark through the European Center for Law and Justice, because your support for the ACLJ, we have offices around the world, and our European Center for Law and Justice is recognized officially as an organization with authority and priority at the United Nations as an NGO at the UN, to say it just basically. And so we're able to communicate not just as an outside group, but as an officially recognized UN group. And we're going to write our senior counsel to the UN directly about what happened with this two-thirds vote, because it is, one, unheard of this year. It has not happened a single time on a single resolution. And none of us who remember on any of these kind of controversial issues remember two-thirds being in vote. So, again, I can't say if definitely this would happen again, if there could be procedural changes, if it's just so loosey-goosey at the General Assembly that the countries make up rules as they go. But then it's supposed to be one state, one vote, one member, one vote. You're not supposed to have these supermajorities at the General Assembly. It's not like the Security Council.
I mean, it's part of the mantra, Jordan. You know, one country, one vote, and you see it in resolutions last week. You see it in resolutions this week. I mean, the pro-Palestinian resolution that passed on the same day, granted, it had 156 votes in favor, so it would have passed either way, but this requirement wasn't placed on it. So, Jordan, I think there are two things. One, the letter that you referenced, we are going to write to the United Nations and insist on legal parity. If you're going to consider similar resolutions, they have to be considered under the same thresholds. Otherwise, you know, the body itself is undermined. Jordan, the second thing is more of a diplomatic one. Look, this is still a giant stride forward because you have a pretty significant plurality now on the side of the United States and Israel on this issue. And diplomatically, now it's up to the United States to go back to these countries who enabled this. Remember, the Arab states can't do this on their own. The Organization for the Islamic Cooperation can't do it on its own. They do it with the enablement of countries who are supposed to be aligned with the United States. Wes said 184 of the 193 get U.S. financial aid. The conversations between the United States and those countries, Jordan, is going to be pretty intense in the weeks ahead.
We come back. You know what we do in our final segment? We take all of your phone calls. Phone lines are busy right now, but if you want to try to get on the air, 1-800-684-3110. Everyone who is on the air today gets a copy of the book by our chief counsel, my dad, Jay Sekulo, Jerusalem, A Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Support the work of the ACLJ. Donate today at aclj.org. Your gift will be doubled.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulo presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, A Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, A Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow in the final segment of the broadcast, and we have a full bank of phone calls. That's what we do. We take calls. And you know what we're talking about today? It's this resolution we talked about yesterday at the United Nations. It did not pass because there was a supermajority required, two-thirds majority required, instead of that was voted on, a resolution voted on to do that, instead of the normal majority vote, which, by the way, if it was the normal majority vote at the UN, which they used to condemn Israel like they did last week six times a week ago, this would have passed. It would have passed. It had been the first time Hamas would have been condemned. It would have been the first time a group that attacked Israel would have been condemned at the UN. A majority of countries did vote for it, but not a supermajority. It's unheard of. We're going to work. We're putting together right now a letter from our legal team to the UN legal team, because we have status through our European Center for Law and Justice at the UN. We're a recognized NGO inquiring exactly what happened and making sure parity. So, hey, if you're going to condemn Israel, don't you need two-thirds votes for that as well? I mean, shouldn't that be the normal operating practice now moving forward? Or how about we just go back to business as usual, where it's one country, one vote when it comes to the General Assembly? We're not talking Security Council resolutions here where you've got the permanent members with veto power. Right to the phones we go. Deneen is calling in from Arkansas on line 6. Deneen, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hey, Jay. Hey, everybody. I love your show, and you are the most fair show that I can think of. The way you do things as Christians, you're just fair to everybody.
We try to do that. Thank you.
Yeah. Someone already asked my question about, is this legal? But I want to know, is there anything that can be done about it? Does it have to stand like this if you enter your law that you're trying to do?
Yeah, so we're going to inquire about this, Dan, through our European Center for Law and Justice with our NGO status. We're putting it together through our using all of our senior counsels, really, to the UN's legal team to inquire about this. You know, is this totally up to the General Assembly? Where is this in the rules? Is it, can you put forward basically any resolution you want, requiring any kind of vote requirement you want? So could it have been, well, it's going to require 3/4 of the countries? I mean, what's preventing that? And shouldn't there be parity? So if similar votes have had to meet this standard, if you're going to allow this going forward and not just going to have basically up or down votes, majority votes, then you should require the condemnations of Israel to get 2/3 majority.
Right. I mean, the credibility of the United Nations depends on it, Jordan. There's got to be parity between similar resolutions. And look, you've got to look to other international norms and other international bodies for precedent on what should be allowed here. Ultimately, it'll be up to the United Nations to make those changes. But we're going to put those arguments in front of them and make them understand that their very credibility will be undermined if they act this way. And Jordan, again, I know I've said it a bunch of times, but there's also going to be the diplomatic piece that we're going to engage on this, because even with these shenanigans, the United States moved very, very close to even meeting this two-thirds vote threshold. So we're going to go back to those countries who pretended to vote for the underlying resolution but fell for this stunt, and we're going to say, look, we're going to call you out publicly if you don't right this wrong, and the next time this comes around, you better not fall for this again.
Let's go to Gray calling from North Carolina on line 1. Gray, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Thank you, and you actually answered my question while I was on hold, but my history in this, I was in the 82nd Airborne.
Yep.
From 1972 to 75. We weren't in Vietnam, but we were deployed to the Middle East in October 73. And we didn't touch ground, but we were deployed. So I guess you can figure that out as far as the date. And ever since then, it's like Israel's been under attack. I was so happy yesterday, and today it's just really let down.
You know,
and I'm going to put my donation in, little donation, but so I can help you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And we're going to work on this technicality. But don't let it be a full letdown. I mean, listen to what Ambassador Danone said on our broadcast today. Just listen. Take a listen. Byte 21.
Today, we achieved a plurality. That plurality would have been a majority if the vote had not been hijacked by a political move of procedure. But in one strong, courageous voice, we have brought Hamas to justice.
So I think it has to be clear, and Gray, I appreciate your service to our country, but it has to be clear that in Israel's perspective, this has been Hamas being brought to justice, because resolution or not, the majority of countries did vote courageously to condemn Hamas, and specifically not just condemn Hamas, but condemn Hamas's and the Palestinian Islamic Jihad's terror attacks against Israel. So it said Israel specifically. Back to the phones we go. Raj in Virginia on line 5. Raj, you're on the air.
Thank you. We thank our God for all that you have been doing. He has truly empowered you, and he has gone before us. They meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And we take encouragement and strength even as you labor, even as you raise the funds. And I just pray God's blessing on you.
Thank you.
And I reach out also at this time to those who can go back to the pastors and elders of their churches, because they don't have the opportunity of listening to the wonderful news you brought today and the clarity with which Ambassador Haley expressed the U.S. position.
Yeah.
And how the ambassador from Israel.
Yeah, that's why we bring this broadcast to you. You know, there was a lot of even yesterday when we were talking about it, it was the second funeral in Texas for former President George H.W. Bush. So the networks were mostly covering that, even cable news, broadcast television. But we knew that we needed to get this message out to people, not because we don't have respect for President George H.W. Bush. We played most of the funeral in D.C. on our broadcast earlier in the week. But we wanted to make sure people understood what was happening at the UN. And so I appreciate those comments, Raj. Let me try to get these final two calls of the day in. So quickly, Mary Ann in Virginia, thanks for holding on line 4. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for all you do. My question is, why do we need the UN?
Yeah.
Because they continually attack Israel. And the country should know if they attack Israel, they attack us.
Well, here's why we aren't leaving the UN. We're a permanent member of the Security Council. That's the council that can wage war, declare war. And we have, by being a permanent member, there's 15 countries on it, 10 rotate, 5 are permanent. By being a permanent member, we can veto anything alone. We can stop any conflict we want. We could, so if other countries like Russia or China, who are also on, it's then the UK and France that have the other 4, we have a permanent seat with a permanent veto, an absolute veto against any Security Council resolution. And those Security Council resolutions, unlike General Assembly resolutions, have teeth. They can impose sanctions. They can impose international law restrictions. They can also start wars, start conflicts. I mean, so that is why we are not leaving the United Nations as the United States of America. We have been blessed with one of those permanent seats on the Security Council with an absolute veto. Final call of the day, Kathy in Sacramento. Very quickly, you are on the air, Kathy.
Hi, I just wanted to say I think it's outrageous that this rogue criminal gang of Hamas is given the same standing in the United Nations as Israel.
Well, you know, that it's Kathy, they're not. They're not a member of the United Nations. They are not recognized. The Palestinian Authority is an observer. Hamas is not an observer or a member. But, again, what you saw was the anti-Semitism on display and the anti-Israel sentiment on display by requiring that two-thirds majority vote. But on a positive side, remember, the majority of countries did vote to condemn Hamas's attacks on Israel, and that is a win for Israel and a win for the United States. Talk to you next time on Jay Sekulow Live.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.